This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 53. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. For you out there that are new to the podcast, this podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with books and authors in fantasy books. Whether it's epic fantasy or urban fantasy, whether you love to read swords and sorcery or something else in between, expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show in each episode. Let's go ahead and check in with what I'm up to. In my update this week, I am just totally laser focused on the launch of book two coming up for my Broken Throne series. That book is called Prophecy's Child. That's coming up this coming Friday from the day this episode is launched. You can still get started if you want to checking out book one in the series. I'm going to be releasing these books every 3 weeks until all five of them are out. So you can check out book one if you want. Pick up The Charm Runner and start reading. It's a story with gangster mages and crooked cops and a world where magic is prohibited. Check it out, The Charm Runner, wherever you are looking for your paperback books, or if you're looking for the ebook version over at Amazon exclusively for there and for Kindle Unlimited. From a writing standpoint, I'm putting the finishing touches on Cyber's Underground Book 3 in my Sapiens Run trilogy right now. That needs to get finished by the middle of this month so it can get to the editor on schedule and get worked over by him. The narrator, Sarah Guise, is waiting to get started to do the audiobook, and so I need to get the book finished and in its completed form for her. As always, you can find out more information on what I'm up to on a regular basis, plus discussions about all kinds of fantasy books from other authors and what people are reading and games and giveaways and a lot more over in my fan group on Facebook. Just search for Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers on my website and blog as well. You'll find jamiesdavisbooks.com and my, of course, associated Facebook page, Jamie Davis Books. But wherever you find me, get in touch with me. Reach out to me using a contact page or leave a comment on a post. I love hearing from people, and I'd love hearing from you too. Okay, let's go ahead and get into our author interview for this episode. I had the privilege of interviewing Emily Knight this week for the show. Emily Knight is a constant writer and author of her debut, Era of Undying, which is the prequel and has the prequel Dagger and Scythe coming out soon to that book. After years of reading fantasy and horror, she combines the two things together. She kind of puts together her own dark fantasy writing style using her BA in classical civilizations and fascination with ancient Greek mythology, blending it all together into her own style. Other than reading in her spare time, she loves to play video games quite a bit, and we talk a little bit about all of that in this interview coming up with Emily. Check it out. Hi, Emily. I want to welcome you to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, it's really fun to be here. This is exciting.
It is, and I'm really actually looking forward to chatting with you. I just started reading your book, and it's really intriguing, and I got a lot of questions for you. So before we get to I want to make sure we find out a little bit about you. So why don't you share with our audience something about your background and maybe how you got started writing?
Okay. Well, it's not that exciting. I'm from Southern Ontario, and I work in a call center at a car dealership at the moment. But I took ancient Greece and Roman history in the university here, and that's basically what got me into the ancient Greek side of things. And my boring work life got me into the writing side of things. I wanted to do something more for myself and to just like try to write a novel. And I did.
So let's, that's fine. I'm just kind of flipping around here. So, what got you started writing in like dark fantasy? Because it's, you know, not something that I know I didn't grow up reading a lot of dark fantasy, and it seems like it's more of a newer trend. Is this something that you've always been interested in?
No, weird way, no. I've always loved horror and fantasy, but separately. Like, I fell in love with Stephen King and J.K. Rowling, or Christopher Pollini, and Christina Henry is one of my other favorites. She's relatively down low, but she's great. And I recently got into Grimdark with Mark Lawrence as well. That was when I realized I could combine horror and fantasy in one. So I kind of, not made my own genre, of course, but I wanted to add my own touch to it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I just started reading Era of Undying, and it's fascinating the way the magic system that you've come up with for the Blood Warrior class or group or person. And it's just, you know, it's very intriguing to me, and unlike anything I've read anywhere else. Where did you come up with that?
I was just daydreaming one day.
Aren't they
Honestly, the best ideas? Exactly. I was bored at work one day, and I'm like, what would happen if this was a thing? And I just kind of ran with it.
You know, there's so many systems out there that use blood as some form of power. I mean, you know, the whole vampire myth is based upon life-giving blood, keeping the undead alive. You know, there's so many systems that are around that. But the idea of using one's own blood as a source of power and defense and attack and everything else is just really intriguing to me.
It seemed really new, and I wanted to explore that.
Well, and you've done a great job. It's really got me super intrigued. I'm looking forward to when we're done the podcast tonight, I'm going to be reading more. So, yeah, it's so the main character in Era of Undying is Pen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her and a little bit about the story?
Well, Pen is from basically just a quiet little nomadic life. She always traveled around with her father. And when he passed away, she did kind of settle down in a small little town. Got a husband, had a kid, had a great little life. Then things don't really go according to plan. So when Pen is on her own, she gets roped into this grand quest to find out why people in her world aren't dying. People have basically realized that she is the blood warrior, that she can move her blood outside her body. And now everyone else has these high expectations of her that she doesn't want. So to complete her personal goal, which I won't give away for like spoiler reasons, but to complete her personal goal, she does go along with what the king wants to find the goddess of death to fix everything. And the story just kind of moves on from there.
It's fascinating. And, you know, I'm actually just at the point where she's like, and, you know, in front of the king and in trial, you know, for doing something that, you know, she was trying to defend herself, but it is dark in the things that she is forced to do, I guess, because of who she is. And she's hunted because of who she is. And it's, you know, it makes you think. I mean, this is the thing that makes characters come to life for me. And it's that even in unusual circumstances, they do things that are believable. And I can believe Pen would do the things she had to do and regret doing it the whole time.
Definitely. So yeah, it was really fun to explore.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it was. And that's one of the things that kind of makes characters come to life. So you came up with this idea for the blood warrior and the use of blood as a form of magic or a form of energy. Did you come up with the idea and then kind of figure out what kind of character would wield it in your story? Or was Pen always kind of there in the background as somebody you wanted to explore in one way, shape, or form in a story that hadn't yet been fleshed out?
It was more character driven and actually more, like you said, power driven. I had the idea in mind of the blood stuff, and then I worked a story around that. I discovered, quote unquote, discovered Pen. And then I wanted to write the story around her. So that's where the rest of it came from.
And so she's a young woman. She's in a place that really doesn't think women should be warriors or shouldn't, you know, it's very, I want to say misogynistic in a way, and maybe a little bit like our own world, although that's changing. Did you do that on purpose?
It is changing, but it's based on the Middle Ages.
Right, okay.
And ancient Greece in a way, where it was like that back then.
Yeah, okay. So you're basing it on that time frame. It's not you're not looking at the world today and how things are changing and adjusting. I was just curious.
No, yeah, that's fine. I'm not making like a grand political statement or anything. I just wanted to write a cool story in the Middle Ages, and that's kind of how it was.
I have to ask, because there's just, so many things going on in the world right now, and I almost believe that as authors, we can't help but write some of the conflict in the world around us into any story.
That's true. So, yeah, that's true. It'll like seep in there a little bit.
And then you don't have to beat people over the head with it, but I wondered if it was something that was important to you, and it certainly isn't overt in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's just a brief mention here and there of, women as warriors and the disbelief that could be a thing. But she's certainly capable and able to take care of herself.
Exactly.
So when you think of like how fighting and things like that happen, is this something you've explored, or have you studied martial arts, or even just like, I know when I started working on a project where I had to have a duelist class, I actually watched like hours and hours of YouTube videos on historical martial arts and practice and trying to understand how actual real life moves worked. So I'm not a martial artist myself, but I could use YouTube to kind of immerse myself in that culture.
I basically did the same thing as well. I did some basic research, and if I had to write a particular fight, I kind of looked up some different fights online and not mimicked their movements, but at least saw what one character would be doing while another character was moving, kind of stuff. So like basic research. Nothing too intensive as actually going to a class. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because I interviewed Lee Conley, which will be a few weeks before this episode comes out. And, he's like a full-on, like, practitioner of historical European martial arts. So, he's, like, fighting with long swords and stuff like that. And, that's just amazing to me. And the reason I thought about that was that I saw an article recently that a woman actually took the longsword world championship this year.
Oh,
so
cool. Good for her.
Yeah. And the interview I read was she said that she actually excels at fighting people who are bigger and stronger than her. If she gets messed up when she fights people more her own size, because she's constantly used to having to overbalance people that are pushing harder against her.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So I just thought that was an interesting thing I saw. And it made me think, again, I was thinking of Penn when I was thinking of that as I was reading about Penn and going, it made sense, because even in the very earliest fight scene she's in, she's fighting someone who's bigger and stronger than she is. And yet she still manages to defeat them. So,
yeah, she focuses more on her wits and her speed as opposed to big strength.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool that she's able to actually fashion weapons from the blood that she allows to escape from her body. She cuts herself and then let the blood flow out to perform things. But I'm sure there's got to be like a detriment to that at some point. I mean, she can't lose too much blood, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Her power is based off of basically the amount of blood that she does have in her own body. Because I wanted the magic to have some kind of limitation. That's what makes magic interesting in a lot of ways, because if she was just overpowered and could do anything she wanted, it wouldn't be that fun. So I wanted to add the limitation of she can only draw so much.
I wrote a book in The Accidental Thief, and at the end of the book he got like this like major power added to him, that ability that he gained, and I instantly knew it was too much, but I'd finished the book and sure enough, somebody like picked up on it in a review and said, this is too overpowered. If he goes on in the world, he's going to have too much power and ability. Mm-hmm. And I instantly, like the very next book, found a way to take it away from him.
Oh, cool.
basically leveled him down, if you would, because I just realized that I'd created something that was didn't have enough limitation to it. Your character needs to be at risk at some point.
Exactly, or else there's no like fun tension.
Right, right, and that's the conflict that we're looking for is to try to find ways to. Interesting ways to put our character at risk, and it needs to be believable and understandable, the risk that they face.
Yeah, exactly. To have them wield these really cool powers, but still have some kind of vulnerability in themselves as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And I know now, is the next book you have coming out, Dagger and Scythe, is that a follow-up to this story? Or is this
a
whole
prequel.
Standalone on its own?
They're both standalones right now.
Okay.
This one is a prequel. And Dagger and Scythe they lead into each other a little bit. And since you're reading Era of Undying, I won't say anything.
Okay.
But some characters do meet each other.
Okay.
And it kind of ties into that a little bit. But Dagger and Scythe happens chronologically before Era of Undying.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Now, that comes out in October. So it doesn't hurt them to read Era of Undying first, right?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Cool.
I wanted to make sure that was a thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's good. And I like how you have the characters set up and then you have this whole new story coming in there that's going to happen after the fact. It's just interesting. Did you want to leap that far forward to make that work, or
Dagger
and Scythe comes
exactly.
first, right?
Yes.
Chronologically.
Yes. Oh, it wasn't intentional though. I had the idea for Dagger and Scythe even before Penn with the Blood Warrior stuff. I've been sitting on Dagger and Scythe, those two characters, since I was like 14. I just never had a story for them yet.
Oh, cool.
So when I finished Era of Undying, I wanted to focus on those two characters, Dagger and Scythe. They were like my original babies in a way. So I wanted to find their story and incorporate them into the new world somehow.
Now, did you...
So that's what I wanted to do, make like an origin
for
them.
And I'm curious about that because I want to explore that a little bit because you said Dagger and Scythe are characters that you kind of had with you. So these are more character-driven ideas that you brought into a world, but first you had to find a way to flesh that world out in Era of Undying, which is just kind of really fascinating and interesting to hear.
Yes. Thank you.
So Dagger and Scythe, where did they come from? How did they spring up in your younger self?
Oh, like where I was originally inspired kind of stuff?
Yeah.
It was basically my last year of high school, and I was watching a weird music video of this girl running through a forest, finding a couple in the woods, and that couple kind of ends up kidnapping her. And it's a weird music video. It was actually Japanese. I don't remember the title of it, but it was a weird little music video. And I had the cool idea of just this crazy couple out in the woods, not doing moral good things. Like they would kidnap people and they would torture people for fun. And overall, they're just not very good characters in that sense, but I wanted to explore them more from their original standards of who these characters were and create a different kind of understanding for them, not forgiving anything they do, but at least exploring it.
Well, you know, that's what makes dark characters come to life though, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's often said, you know, the villain of any story is much better if you can understand how they see themselves as being good.
Exactly.
You know, and so they have their own motivations and their own version and vision for what should be right in the world. And because they believe that.
Exactly. I kind of wanted to.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was.
Sorry. I basically wanted to write from like the villain's point of view in a way.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. I mean, a lot of people write dark characters, but they still are. You know, still sort of good or protagonists in some way. They have something, but I like the idea of exploring a villainous character from that direction and understanding their motivations and making it real because that's hard to do.
Exactly. It was super fun.
Was it? Cool. Tell us a little bit about how you explored that.
I made situations that Dagger and Scythe had to go in to explore more of themselves on an individual basis. Like at one point, Dagger is sent to go after a certain family and he realizes he doesn't want to, or Scythe is sent after a woman alone in a little shack. And she realizes that this woman could have been herself in a different sort of timeline. So they're struggling with their own identities in a way. And that was a lot of the character-driven moments of them realizing in themselves who they are, being okay with it in some cases, but learning to change certain things.
No, I like kind of that idea of finding the humanity within themselves, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get that back in a way.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that story. That should be very interesting, I would think. And you know, like you said, you know, exploring that dark side, that villainous side of these characters, but yet humanizing them so that they make sense. They're not just doing evil things for evil sake. They have a reason.
Exactly.
Awesome. So is this already written and you're working on something else, or are you kind of finishing up at this point?
You know, Dagger and Scythe is totally done. It's perfectly polished. You can even pre-order it on Amazon already.
Awesome.
And I am working on a third novel, which is completely different than the other two.
Okay. Now, so it's not set in the same world like as the Blood Warrior or anything like that?
It is, but with completely different people in a different setting.
Okay.
It's the same continent, but a different city.
Okay.
And its own little political issues.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're really, really kind of fleshing out a whole world here.
I am. I wanted to write a story, like one overarching story where they're all interconnected, but still good standalone stories.
That's a trick, you know. I mean, a lot of people write in series and you know, the stories are so heavily reliant on each other that, you know, while they have a closing arc to them, you have to read on because there are enough open threads that you're pulled forward. It's hard to, you know, I applaud people that write complete standalones like that.
I know it's hard writing one just little standalone story as opposed to having it carry on for several novels at a time, or writing one and not knowing where it goes afterwards. It's like there's one or the other. It's either a huge series or just one by itself and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. So what's your writing day like? I mean, you have your job, so obviously you have to make time in your free time to write. Do you try to write a little every day, or do you only write on the weekends, or how does that work for you?
I do write a little every day, and I'm actually able to sneak in some writing during work. On my lunch hour, of course, I'm able to get a lot done on my work hour, actually, of like even 500 words a day, which doesn't seem like that much, but that build up over like a week and then a month, it's a lot.
Oh no, so 500 words a day is a substantial, consistently is a substantial amount of writing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're talking 3,500 words a week. That's, you know, that doesn't take long before you end up with a full length novel.
Mm-hmm. No, it's totally worth it. Sticking with a good, consistent word count, getting that out at least by the end of the day, granted when I get home from the day job and I end up turning on YouTube, sometimes it doesn't end up getting done, but that's okay because I can make up for it on the weekend.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you know, it's funny. That writing habit has several positive effects. First of all, any kind of habit, even if it's a mental habit of creativity, tends to breed upon itself so that, you know, the more you write, the better the more easy it is for you to get into writing mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, once the habit is there, you almost feel guilty for not doing it for one day, but it's okay if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can, but the more you do it, the easier it is to flip that switch. Because I know for me in the beginning, it was hard, like putting my mind into creative mode and, you know, making that mind shift from everyday work to, all right, now I'm going to make up something completely from the ether. And, but the more I did it, the more it became like, oh, I can sit down and, oh, open this document and now I can start typing because I know where I am in the story and my brain is more automatically switching over because
it's easier
used to the
switch
process
there after a long day.
Yeah.
And actually at work, there's a lot of little distractions, mostly like the telephone going off with customers. And I've really gotten used to flipping from working and then writing a little bit, or like getting distracted by the phone and then going back to it on my lunch kind of thing.
That's a skill that not a lot of people have developed. And I'm curious if you had any tips for somebody that is in that similar situation, you know, another writer that's listening to this show that is in a similar situation where they can only write in little bursts. I mean, you know, I know a couple of writers who wrote their first couple of novels, like on the bus to and from work, you know, and it's interesting to hear them talk in the same way that, you know, they would write in 5 and 10 minute bursts and get little counts down at a time.
Yeah. And it was super helpful for me in a way too, for like the pacing of the novel. But as for tips, I mainly focused scene by scene as opposed to like the entire overarching story. Like I focused on where my characters were at that time in that moment, what one character said, make a quick little note of like what was happening or what the emotion was, go back to work really quick and then come back to it. I'm like, okay, that's what happened. This is what happens next. So I just write really basic scene by scene notes.
And that should work really well, I would think, because, you know, you can write little vignettes of each part of parts of each scene, and they are easy to put together because they all flow, you know, but you're able to break them up into, all right, you know, this brief conversation between character A and B, and then, oh, I've got to go do something and come back, and you take that conversation and move into the next piece of action that's going to happen and so forth.
Yeah, breaking it down like that makes it a lot easier.
Awesome. No, you're the first person I've talked to on the podcast that actually is talked about writing in that fashion, but I think it's super useful because there's a lot of people in a similar situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with full-time day jobs who do still have the skill of like writing and they really want to get into it, like me. And I just wanted to actually focus on the writing part. But with the day job, obviously I couldn't quit just yet. So I'm like, okay, I'll make it work and I'll write small scenes at a time. And it works fine.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's, in some ways, that's even better than, I know a lot of people that try to like save it all up and then they come home at the end of a long day and then they have to eat dinner and maybe they have family time and, you know, they don't start writing till 9 or 10 o'clock at night and they're so exhausted that, you know, I'm frankly amazed they get anything done because at the end of the day, like that for me, I would not be able to write. Now I'm a morning writer. I get up and write before everybody gets up, but that's my mojo. But I can only imagine trying to write tired and exhausted like that. And it seems like for you to write in the middle of the day in little bursts is incredibly productive.
I'm definitely an afternoon person. I'm an afternoon writer. And even when I do get home and I don't have a giant family to take care of. I have 2 cats. That's about it. But they're enough distraction to prevent me from writing.
It doesn't take much, does it?
No, not really. Once I'm home, I really don't get a lot of writing done. Seeing some days I get more done at work.
Well, you know, and that's the thing that I think I've tried to impress upon them. Every now and then, and you may get this from other people too, is, oh, you write, you know, what's your tip on how to write? And, you know, I the thing I keep telling people is the more I do this podcast, the more I realize there is no one way to write. There is not even 100 ways to write. There are thousands of different ways to come at this.
Oh yeah. There is no single trick that'll work for like everybody. You need to like find your trick and stick with it. But the thing is, if it's your trick, you will stick with it.
So as we kind of get close to the end here, I want to make sure we hit on a couple of things. What do you do to like reach out to your readers so that you can kind of get in touch with them? Is there a way that somebody who maybe wants to pick up Era of Undying and reach out to you after they've read it and, you know, see what's going on and kind of make that connection?
Yeah, totally. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. I have Twitter and I have Instagram. I find mostly I'm on Twitter. I don't know. I just gravitate to that one a little more. So if you want to leave a comment there, that's totally fine.
Awesome. And I'll have links to that everywhere. But I mean, it's interesting because everybody, just like there's different ways of writing, everybody kind of gravitates towards one of the various social platforms. They might be on several, but everyone seems to just pick one as their favorite. And Twitter.
Yeah, there's like a main hub.
Yeah, and Twitter's yours. That's great. So people can reach out to you on Twitter and I'll have links to that. I also will have links to your website, which is emilyknight.com, and that's emilyknight.com. Folks can find that. I'm just looking over at your website and you've got some snippets of stuff there and your bio and all the stuff that people would need to get in touch with you and figure out how to catch up with you, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And all the social links are up there too. So,
and I love your book covers, by the way. I just wanted to say, both for Dagger and Scythe and Era of Undying, I think they're
Thank you. I did not design those myself. I have a friend over in Germany, and he designed all of those.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Well, no, because like the blood magic, and when I was looking at Era of Undying, you see this person with a sword hovering next to them, and then you realize, no, the sword is made of blood, which is so cool. And there's like tendrils of blood kind of in the air around her, so she's controlling them. They really captured, it's almost like this, they've captured this, the early scene in the book where she has her first fight in some ways. And it really came to life exactly like that.
Yay. I'm glad you like the cover too. I'll definitely let my friend know.
Yeah, please do. It's really unique. But it's eye catching too. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Emily, it's great having you on the show. I'd love to have you back sometime in the future to chat with me. Maybe when that third book is ready to come out, you can,
get a
hold of me.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll have you back. Like I said, reach out to me, and we'll get you back on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
That will wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com, where you'll find lots of other posts, book reviews, things like that, as well as at the top of the page, a tab for this podcast. So you can click through and find all of our episodes over there. But when you do find this episode, if you have a comment for me or for Emily and your question or something like that, leave it in the comments there and we'd love to hear from you. I'll make sure Emily gets over there and answers it so you can get a response right away. Also on the website for each podcast episode post, don't forget you could subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for whatever mobile device you use, whether it's iOS, Android, or even by email. Make sure you do it so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, because we've got some amazing authors coming up, including a great interview I had with a fellow indie author, Ben Galley, coming up in the next episode. He has a unique take on death and magic and fantasy in his latest series, and you definitely will want to check out that episode. We talk about all kinds of stuff, including how music helps us write the books we write. So check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want, you can get a free book just for signing up for my newsletter over there. If you have a hankering to check out any of my writing and see what it's like and see if it's to your liking, I always appreciate you doing that. So I offer you a free book to check out. Whatever you do, though, subscribe to the podcast. Come back here and catch the next show because you don't want to miss it. And a lot is coming up in future episodes. In the meantime, as you go about the rest of your day, don't forget to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.